welcome to the Worcester Observer podcast with all the news, sport and entertainment from the faithful city as always. I'm your host Rob George, and joining us this week once again is Claire. Claire, welcome on this very, very cold, wet Wednesday morning.
Thank you for having me again. It is a cold, wet, miserable morning, but it's been lovely recently.
It has been lovely recently, and obviously by the time you listen to it, the forecast is supposed to be better next week, so hopefully we'll just gloss over it and it's lovely and sunny.
Hopefully it's just
isn't
the
it
morning.
Warm?
Yeah, hopefully it's just this morning, it's raining.
Absolute nightmare. Well, we're back in our studios in our headquarters in Redditch to give you all the news from what's been a dramatic bank holiday week. We're going to save the politics for a bit later because that's all you've heard for a couple of weeks now. So we'll focus on some other stories. And this is a breaking story that only happened last night. It was only introduced last night, and we can bring it to you first on the Worcester Observer podcast, online at observer.co.uk, and in the paper as well. And that's a major new scheme to improve a nighttime experience for city, I'm going to say revellers, but all city people that enjoy the nighttime economy, has been launched in the city by Worcester Bid. They've taken their wraps off a Best Bar None scheme for the area. This is a national thing that can be localised, and it aims to ensure licensed venues are managed with the aim to reduce alcohol-related crime and improve the experience for everybody. So this focuses on not selling alcohol to underage kids, but also cutting down on violence. If somebody's drunk, you know how to deal with it, and give people in licensed premises more training on how to deal with it. Fantastic idea.
These bid schemes are amazing. I actually met with the lady who runs the Solihull Hall bid a few weeks ago, and I didn't realise what they do. Our towns are really relying on them, and they really bring together communities, and they help with everything from homelessness to, as you say, alcohol-related things and putting on events in town. It's just incredible. I didn't realise quite how important they were. And all the different things, they seem to be taking on a lot of the responsibilities from the councils as well sometimes.
Yeah. But Worcester Bid have done, there are so many events. Do visit worcesterbid.com. We can't cover all the events they do now,
sure,
because literally there are so many. But do take a look at just the breadth of what have been organised, because they're even adding more and more and more to the city every year. I mean, we're talking food festivals, music festivals, you name it, it's all been organised. The business chiefs there at Worcester Bid have sorted this out. And this, as I said, this is a national thing. It was only launched last night. As we record this on Wednesday, it was launched on Tuesday night. I managed to obtain the information and said, and offered them the publicity and said, I can't attend myself because it will be after our deadline, but if you give me the information, we'll get you the coverage we need. And I didn't mention we're going to mention them on the podcast either, so that's a bonus for them.
Definitely. Well, no, we really appreciate all they do for our towns and cities. And this sounds incredible. Keep us updated.
It's an accreditation scheme as well. Just to mention, it's an accreditation scheme. Got gold, bronze and silver they can win. But also there's an awards evening as well, so more news coverage. But it's a national scheme. Do visit Best Bar None. Do log on to Best Bar None on the internet for more. But if you want more information, if you're a business listening to this and you didn't go to the scheme, or you want to find out more and get involved, info@worcesterbid.com or 01905 731612 for more information. Brilliant scheme. Congratulations to the team at Worcester Bid. And I'll extend the invitation now. I'm going to contact them anyway, but if they want to come on the podcast, tell us all more about Worcester Bid, then I think that would be a fantastic show to have. So the invitation's out there now, and all of you listeners have heard it. So if you know anyone that works for Worcester Bid, we can put the pressure on that way.
Definitely, it'd be interesting.
Needs no doubt, it's a fantastic scheme. And moving on, something I wanted to put on the front page, because I'm a big supporter of Help for Heroes, as you could tell by my wristband, and that's a dedicated county fundraiser, has handed over the baton for fundraising for Help for Heroes in the local area after 11 years of fundraising.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realise Help for Heroes was going that long.
Oh, I didn't realise either. I thought it was more of a kind of new thing, but fantastic.
Ian Baldry welcomed Neil Roberts as the new team leader for Worcestershire for the charity, and you can read all about it on the front. Neil has been involved since 2012 himself, raising money, and he's raised over 4,500 with just a couple of events as well, so he's already raised a fair bit, and also to support the charity's Hidden Wounds programme as well. It's a fantastic thing. Ian's just a lovely, lovely bloke, but he's going to carry on as a fundraiser as well, because you know, find these people that step down, they're just like, yes, I'm stepping down now. and I'm still going to do.
Oh, good for him. Well, they'd be interesting people as well to get on the podcast one time, wouldn't they?
Yes, I think we're going to have a litany of guests.
We
this do. Summer.
We need some really good guests this summer.
Definitely, that would be another good idea. I did not think of that. This is why this podcast works. So I come up with some ideas. Claire comes up with ideas. It's fantastic. It's a fantastic cause. And I wish Neil all the best, but I mean, Worcester is going to support. The faithful city will support.
Why is Worcester called the faithful city, Rob? Do you
because
know?
Because it was the last city. It stood firm in the Civil War when the monarchy was being overthrown.
Oh, is that why? It stayed faithful. Oh, right. I never knew that.
It remained loyal to the Queen.
I've lived here so many years.
To the King, sorry, not.
I never knew that. So you learn something on this podcast as well every week. Well, I do.
Not in depth, let's be honest. I'd like to educate more. Now, I don't want to push readers into stories, because that's not me, you know that. But please, if you can, read the story about the charity fun runner. Page 4 of the paper this week, but it'll be going online on Friday, because I thought it's a great Friday story. There's a seasoned charity run is set to bolt round the Worcester City 10K course as part of a John O'Groats to Land's End challenge. Baron Durjit Singh Cheema, known as Barry, calls himself Barry. He's from Walsall, my hometown, so I am biased. But he's running Land's End to John O'Groats to raise money for charity. And a part of that, he's entered himself into the Worcester City 10K.
Oh.
You wouldn't think he was doing enough running. And now he's going to do a 10K on top of everything he's doing.
So do we know how many K Land's End to John O'Groats is?
It's a damn sight more than 10.
10K. I know. I wonder how many... that's what I was going to... My next question. How many times is he going to have to do the Worcester 10K to emulate the distance?
I think he's only intending to do the 10K once because he's got a lot more running to do.
That's just a little warm-up then.
But the guy is... He's from Walsall. He's raising money for the Midland Langer Sever Society, which provides hot food and drink to homeless people and those in need. So a fantastic charity. He is from Walsall, and he's hoping to raise £5,000. But brilliantly, he's nicknamed Usain Bolt.
Oh, brilliant.
I read this story when it was emailed to me, and I just thought... Just brilliant. I mean, he's from Walsall. I'm biased. You know, I support the People's Republic of Walsall because I'm flying the flag. Because we're not.
You should join him, Rob. You should say, as the editor of your local paper, I'll join you on that 10K.
Why do you want to kill me?
I think that would be a really nice, nice move on your part.
I'm not sure if I could even could do 1K.
I'm sure.
To be honest, I'm not even sure I could do 0.1K, whatever that is. I can barely run after my son now. It's ridiculous. That is a point. I should be... But he's a member of Aldridge Running Club as well, so let's give them a mention as well. Fantastic. Entries are open for the Worcester City 10K this year. Visit worcestercityrun.com for all the information. It's all there for you. The guys are really well organised, and we'll have coverage of that in September. And maybe even if we can get... I mean, Steve Cram organises it. So, Steve, if you're listening and you're in Worcestershire at some point...
We want him on the pod as well.
Yeah. It's like we're fishing for guests. I love it. But you've just got to see... Please go on the website. The guy is just... He just sounds sensational. Like, on the morning, he's going to be in Walsall on the morning of the 10K. He's going to run to Worcester the day before... And then do a 10K the following day. I'm just exhausted typing the story.
What a hero. And what's his charity again? It's funds for Midlands Langer...
The Midlands Langer Sever Society.
Okay, what does that do?
And it provides hot food and drink for homeless people and those in need. So fantastic story as well. He's got a Virgin Money giving page as well. Just search for Usain Bolt 2019. And you'll find it on, because Virgin Money Giving, it's a very long website address, and I'll stumble over it, or I'll just end up giving you the wrong address or something. But I think that is a brilliant, brilliant nickname, Usain Bolt. So I think that is absolutely brilliant.
That is, and he looks like a nice, even from that photo in the paper, he just looks like a happy, nice chap, doesn't he?
Yeah, and just
good on him.
Just putting his thumbs up as he's running.
Good on him.
Meanwhile, I'm just like, water, water. Right, I think we've strung that out as long as enough. We're going to have to talk politics. What a dramatic night.
I felt for you. I stayed up as long as I could last week, and I was seeing your tweets come in. And
supporting us, liking everything and supporting us on social media.
So how was it?
very long, but very, very dramatic. And let's give you the headlines. The Worcester Green Party picked up another seat in St Stephen. As we predicted, I think I might have said last week, they're probably going to get St Stephen.
Mm.
But they overturned a Conservative majority of 92 into a majority of 550 for themselves.
Oh, my goodness.
Which in a general election is tight, but in a local election, believe me, that's massive. But the Conservative Party came within 198 votes of losing three more seats.
Gosh.
They clung on in Warndon Parish South by just 34 votes. The Green Party nearly took that one by 34 votes. 92 votes made up Cathedral and 52 in Clanes. That was it. The Liberal Democrats nearly took Clanes as well. Now, to give you some perspective, the last time these elections were held, the Conservatives won Clanes by 1,000 votes.
Oh, wow.
They retained it by just 52.
Wow.
There's a lot of drama, and I was briefed a couple of times by some Conservative sources on the night saying this could be a really bad night for us because all the returns for them were looking really bad.
I think it was a bad night, wasn't it, up and down the country? But I don't know if it was as bad as everyone almost expected because they held on in some places where they weren't expected to.
They avoided catastrophe in Worcester.
That's it, yeah.
It could have been an awful lot worse. I mean, you're talking, they had 18 seats. St Stephen, because the way the Green Party, I mean, we've had Louis on the podcast and he's spoken about how the Green Party approach tackling wards. So it wasn't a surprise to see St Stephen go because the Greens, their campaigning strategy is terrific. They zero in on an area and you can't move for being inundated by Green Party information.
Right.
So that wasn't a surprise, but when you think about it, it's 17 Conservatives now, 15 Labour, 3 Greens. You had the potential, 3 more seats to have gone for the Tories, and Labour would have been the largest party, and the Conservatives would have gone from running the council to being the second party.
Wow.
Which in Worcester would have been a catastrophe.
Right. And so you stayed up till the wee early hours of the morning?
I think this is a comment on the state of politics because previous years the winning candidates have tend to hang around to be interviewed.
Mm.
People were getting their results and they were going home. People are tired, both physically, mentally, drained by politics.
Mm.
So some of the winners, give them a mention. Councillor Jenny Barnes for Arboretum won it for Labour. Nida Hassan, who won Warndon Parish North for the Conservatives, and Marjorie Bissett for the Green Party as well. They went home. And I was faced, the Labour Party leader went home, I had to interview him on the steps, he was on his way out.
Mm.
And the Green Party leader actually went home exhausted. He'd been up since 5 o'clock that morning campaigning.
Wow.
But they went. I ended up having to ring the Green Party leader about 2:45 on my mobile doing shorthand, which you can imagine when you've been up for as long as is very, very, very difficult. But they were ecstatic. But I think people were so, so tired. The Conservatives are relieved.
Mm.
Fair play to the Conservative leader. Councillor Mark Bayliss did actually say, on the record, if you'd offered me just one seat loss at the start of the evening, I'd have bit your hand off. I think they know they've dodged a bullet.
Mm.
But how long this malaise continues, I mean,
is it like the general election? I've never seen local elections. So is it like, do they all stand on a kind of stage and the results
it's
read out?
It's so, so much better at the Guildhall. Because have you ever been in the Guildhall?
I sent you a message, I think, on Twitter saying, I think we won the prize for the most pretty building, counting building, though. Those pictures you posted, isn't it a beautiful, beautiful room?
It's just, it's
all the
brilliant.
Other councils everywhere seem to be like old
leisure centres.
Yes, we were in this beautiful, gilded, just historic.
The Guildhall is just bite the back of your hand beautiful. But they count upstairs in that room you've seen on social media and on our Facebook and our Twitter pages.
Mm.
But then you move downstairs to the lobby, if you like. Well, it's not the lobby, it's massive. But there's a platform at the top. A balcony, that's the word I'm after, not platform, balcony. It's early. There's a balcony where the returning officer announces it and you're all standing below it and everyone just gives their winning speech. Very Evita-like.
Oh, wow.
But you're waiting there for ages and this is why I will always... We won't do a blog on the Observer website. We'll just keep you updated on social media because there's hours where hours can go by where nothing actually happens.
Mm.
And you, if you followed us, thank you, by the way, anyone that stayed through the night and followed us all the way through the night, but you'll see there's gaps in my coverage because simply I've got nothing to say. I do go around, I do try and give you information, and I do try and elicit some gossip, if you like, to pass on, but sometimes people are like, there's nothing to say.
Does anyone freak out and burst into tears and storm off the stage and walk out dramatically?
I've not seen anything yet at Worcester. I know I will give him a name check now, Councillor Alan Amos, who, if you read the Observer website, you'll know Councillor Amos doesn't hold back his opinions. Not probably a guest for the podcast because we'd have to censor.
Oh, let's get him on. He sounds like a right laugh. I want Councillor Amos on.
Speaks his mind, put it that way. But a very, very good councillor, a very good contact for the paper and a good friend of the Observer as well. But he was re-elected. There's so many elections. You wonder which election was, but the last time he was elected, he launched a fierce broadside from the balcony. Just like, this shows people, you know, people will elect when they listen to and not when the local paper tells them to. And it was an attack at the other local newspaper in the city, not us.
Wow, I wish I'd been there for that.
But it's brilliant because nothing happens for ages. They're counting and counting. And then you get the first result. And before you know it, right, we've got this result. And you've written it down and you've tweeted it out and you've Facebooked it out. And then the returning officer, and now we've got the result for this. And before you know it, you're just like manically going on. I don't know why I'm doing the actions. I'm actually doing the actions. I do apologise. But the results come quick and you have to work out. But some of the things, I mean, we got tipped off that the Conservatives could lose Warndon Parish South. And after I put my jaw back up, because anyone that lives in Warndon Parish South would say very Conservative. I would say Labour would have challenged it, but it was surprised to know the Greens were challenging it. And when the result came through, it was just 34 votes. You're like, you know you're on for a good night.
Wow. Every vote matters, doesn't it?
It does.
You certainly see it in local elections because it can be one or two votes. Apparently, my uncle, I told you, I think last week, he's a councillor down in Devon, and he won by, I think, a handful. It was a handful in it, and he retained his council. What do you call it? A councillorship? I don't know what that word is.
What do you call it?
He retained his title anyway.
He retained his title. But it was Lord of the Manor. No.
It was with a handful. So, yeah, incredible.
But the Greens, the Greens now have three. I've gone through the list. I'm not going to repeat myself. One thing I do want to mention, though, there was a number of women elected. Now, that means that out of the 35, 12 of the 35 councillors now are women.
Okay.
Which I think is fantastic.
Fantastic.
For the city, and hopefully more and more we can get it so we can get an equal gender balance, because I think that would be brilliant for the council, because we're getting more and more. And we're doing it not with all women shortlists either. It's just the best candidate for the role, and we're going to have a number of strong women on the Worcester City Council this year, which is to be applauded, and hopefully we may get a few of them on. I don't know. We'll see.
Amazing.
But a dramatic night. If you want to see the results, if you're still obsessed with local elections, God knows why you would be. But if you do want to see them, worcesterobserver.co.uk. We've got the election results in every ward in full on our website.
And your coverage, Rob, on the night was spectacular. You literally just kept us all up to date and so on the ball. And I really do respect you because you're always so impartial. You just say all sides of every, you know, fors and against, and you never, you must have obviously your own opinions of who you want to get through, but you seem to support them all, and you did it really, really well.
I think you meet people on the campaign trail and you know certain councillors. You're happy the councillor's back. Certainly, I'm not going to fudge it and say, oh no, I have to be impartial. Of course, I'm a human being as well. Good contacts, you want to see return, but they'd only be good contacts if they do a lot for their area. Like Councillor Alan Amos, for example, does a lot for his area and does a lot on the council as well as being a good and will raise issues. Some you don't want to see returned, or you'd be, because you feel they do nothing.
Mm.
But certainly some of the ones that were returned, I mean, Nida Hassan, I met her last year when she was going for the cathedral seat, which she narrowly lost. And I think she'll be a fantastic councillor.
Mm.
She's energised. She knows, she goes around, she's knocking on doors. And somebody said to me over the weekend, actually, if you don't talk to voters, you don't know what the issues are, and you don't be surprised if you don't get elected. She's somebody now in Warndon Parish North. If you, anyone that lives in Parish North, you probably don't know what parish you live in, because nobody does when it comes to election time. But if she is your local councillor, she will do things and she will raise issues. I'm just more glad to see more women, because ever since I started covering politics back in Bromsgrove, it's been a very alpha male, bit testosterone. I'm going to shout at you and you're going to shout at me. And I think more and more women onto all council, onto all public bodies, I think it calms things down, because I think women are more capable of rational debate and will actually calm the men down, I think, and actually highlight the men just being alpha males and the ridiculous behaviour that you do see in some council chambers. And it does go on, and I think I've spoken about it at the Guildhall. Well, I've got on a high horse, sorry, I'll step
no,
off.
No, it's interesting to hear that.
On my hobby horse. But yes, all the election coverage is on there. We've, driving home, I was drafting it in my mind of what I wanted to do. We did a lead story. We did something about the new faces, the results. But I did do a comment piece as well, and because I think people want analysis as well. And certainly, just to bring a little bit of that in, we've already said the Conservatives are relieved. Labour, to me, I would, if I was in Worcester Labour Party, I'd be frustrated, because 15 seats seems to be the ceiling. They don't seem to be.
They should have, in the scheme of things, they should have done a lot better. They should have picked up lots of Tory votes for people protesting, and they should have picked up. And they, I think, they probably were the big losers in Worcester as well, because they should have got it, shouldn't they? Really, thinking about it.
I can see your opinion. I can see why you think that. Yes, I think both the parties.
Yeah.
I think both the big two lost on the night.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not... Remember, 2 years ago, Joy Squires recorded Labour's, I think, highest share of the vote at a general election and still lost, because everybody voted either Labour or Conservative.
Mm.
And we were all saying, oh, well, Worcester's going to be red versus blue, and to the exclusion of all others.
Mm.
Whereas I think Thursday night showed... And I think I'm going to mention it. I'm going to say the word Brexit. I do apologise. I think Brexit has shown the distrust of the two main parties. It's let all the other parties in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, the Green Party are making surges. I mean, no one expected them to go that close in Warndon Parish South.
Well, just talking to people I know who are Tories and Labour supporters, both of them went to the Green Party. I think the Green picked up so many votes on that angle.
Because I think they do politics better.
Yeah.
I think people are tired of the two main parties, and because they seem to be in this sort of stasis where they're not moving. They're just like, oh, Brexit, yeah.
Mm.
Whereas other parties are like, well, there are other things to talk about. What about the environment? What about climate change? What about the education? Other parties are moving into the space, because these two old historic parties are just sitting there like...
And they've both got leaders that nobody seems to particularly like at the moment.
No, and I could say a few things off the record, but there's things I was told about how they feel about Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn that I won't repeat on air, because I would lose a couple of very good contacts. I think that's all I want. All I'm going to go through. I think we've...
Well, the paper looks great again this week.
Well, I do hope you enjoy it.
Full of colour, loads of great photos. And how do people get in touch with you? If they've got a story, Rob, how do they actually get that story to you?
Best way, editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. Straight to my inbox, straight to my address. Because let's face it, Hotmail or all other email providers can be slow and a bit cumbersome at times. But if you're on Facebook on your phone, message us at Worcester Observer. Follow us at Worcester Observer. Twitter, at Worcester Obs. Send me a direct message on there. We check it every day. We might not get back to you quickly, but we do check it every day. We do know it's there.
Right.
And also, if you are following the links on the podcast, do make sure you check out when we post the podcast as well, because thanks to Claire's genius technological advice now, I can actually tag people in to when we put the podcast out there. So if you have been mentioned, beware, and you are on Facebook or Twitter, you're going to get tagged. Fantastic. So we want to retweet and we want a favourite, because the more you do it, the more that spread the word, the more listens we've got and the more successful this is going to be.
And we want you on the show.
And how high did my voice go there?
Oh, well, brilliant roundup of news. Thank you, Rob. And it's really great to have your insight into everything.
Oh, you are very kind. Just quickly, just a quick mention. Good luck to Worcestershire Rapids. They've got a quarter-final at New Road on Friday against Somerset for a place in the semi-finals. And they are two games away from a Lords final to pick up yet another trophy after the 2020 Vitality Blast success in September. That's all the sport I'm going to do, because the rugby season's near enough finished. The football season's finished. It's raining. Everything will get postponed anyway. I think we'll go straight over and let's see what's on in Worcester this week with Claire's What's on Worcester.
For all the things to do and see this week, it's Claire Bullivant with this week's What's On Guide.
Happening this week in town. My name is Claire Bullivant at the Worcester and Malvern Observers, and these are my top picks of things to do and see this week in the Worcester and Malvern areas. Starting off on Thursday, the 9th of May, we have an acoustic music convention happening at the Old Rectifying House. We've just heard that the brilliant Will Killeen will be the opening act, and then Cohen Braithwaite Kilcone will be performing. Two amazing, talented performers, and we love the Old Rectifying House. For all the details, go to theoldrec.co.uk. It's also the season opener at Worcester Racecourse this Thursday, the 9th of May. For all your racing enthusiastic needs, straight out the gate, go to the Worcester Racecourse. It starts at 12 p.m. and will be running until 6 p.m. So come and celebrate the sport of kings with some thrilling racing action at the home of summer jumping. There'll be 7 races for you to enjoy, and do take advantage of the pie and pint package for only £25, which will get you county enclosure admission, a Wright's pie, a £5 drink voucher and a race card. Sounds a bargain, doesn't it? All the details are on the Worcester Racecourse website. We also have ballet happening on Thursday with ESO and Academy Theatre Arts presenting Mother Goose and more at the Swan Theatre. These two innovative companies join forces again for Ravel's beloved ballet Mother Goose. The programme also features Stravinsky's Witty Suite, dances Conte Antes, and 3 beautiful miniatures by iconic composer William Grant Still. Get your tickets from Worcester Live for what is bound to be a spectacular evening at the Swan Theatre on Thursday. Moving on to Friday, the 10th of May, Picked Jacks and the Ernest Spears, to name but a few. Always a great night at Paradiddles, and they get some great bands in there too. If you're after some theatre on Friday night, the Roy Orbison story is on at the Swan Theatre. This is the one and only Barry Steele who takes on the role of the Big O. Reviewers say it's going to be an upbeat night of solid gold 60s hits and 80s contemporary genius. The production also features original material written but never sung by Roy Orbison, and showcases elements of the symphonic orchestration first heard on the Hologram Tour, as well as chart-busting hits originally made famous by the likes of Jerry Lee Lewis, ELO, Tom Petty, Chris Isaak, all the greats. Barry Steele has been winning rave reviews across the globe for his Roy Orbison portrayal, and the stage even went as far as to say, true identikit brilliance. It's going to be a great night. Get your tickets from worcesterlive.co.uk. And it doesn't stop there on Friday. We've also got live music happening all over town. Adam Lee will be performing at the Bush Inn in St John's on Friday night. Jamie Knight is on at the Old Talbot Hotel. Black American is taking to the stage at the Sociable Beer Company on Friday evening. And they're a really fun band if you haven't seen them before. They do all the very best rock hits. Think Thin Lizzy, Green Day, Pink Floyd, The Eagles, all those kind of guys. Really good fun. The Mars Bar also has a great lineup on Friday night with Jasper in the company of others and the Rogue Embers performing there. And this is something I'm really looking forward to. A Flock of 80s and DJ Scotty Tahotti are bringing back the 80s at the Worcester White House Hotel on Foregate Street on Friday evening. From Brian Adams to Spandau Ballet, Duran Duran to Tears for Fears, you'll be footloose and walking like an Egyptian. This will be a night of retro anthems. They asked me to ask you to dress to impress. Anything goes. Spandex miniskirts, leather pants, ripped denims, shoulder pads and leg warmers. Take your pick. On arrival, exchange your golden ticket for a glass of house wine or a bottle of beer and tuck into a two-course buffet full of 80s classics too. Get your tickets from the Worcester White House Hotel. All the details are on their website. Moving on to Saturday the 11th of May, who used to play netball at school? I did. Well, England Netball have set up a really fun event called Walking Netball, where all ages are welcome to come and play at Freedom Leisure in Malvern on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I don't know if you saw in our paper last week, but there were three generations of the same family playing last week. It's still netball, but you can walk and take it a little easier, I gather. Telephone them on 07545 924 953 for all the details on that. Then we've got some really fun things happening on Saturday evening. There's a charity fairy ball going on at the Memorial Hall in Worcester, helping to raise funds for the Worcestershire Breast Unit Haven. Tickets are only £13 and include a glass of bubbly on arrival. There have also been some great prizes donated so far for the charity raffle, and it's going to be a lovely evening. Fancy dress is optional if you fancy getting creative. And you can get all the details on their website, somethingdifferentjk.co.uk. And it doesn't stop there. On Saturday night, we also have an evening with Alan Johnson, In My Life, going on at Huntington Hall. Alan tells his personal story with the help of some of the music that has soundtracked his life, from growing up as an orphan in West London slums in the 50s to rising through the Labour Party ranks to hold several cabinet posts, including Home Secretary. If you'd like tickets for the evening, get them quick because they're going quickly from the Worcester Live website. We've also got loads of great music happening all over town on Saturday evening. Aren't we lucky living in Worcester? The Myths, the VHTs and the Liars at the Witch Trial will be bringing down the house at Paradiddle's Music Cafe and Bar. There's Dark Side of the Wall, the Pink Floyd tribute band, on at the Swan Theatre. Having made their first appearance at the theatre back in 2004, their annual shows are renowned for great entertainment as they deliver 2.5 hours of reverent tribute to their heroes and at the same time prove that Floyd is fun. Check them out online, pinkfloydtribute.co.uk, and get your tickets from Worcester Live. Rust for Glory, the Neil Young tribute band, are also performing on Saturday at the Mars Bar. Haven't actually seen Rust for Glory yet, but I've heard great things about them. So if you do go, let us know. Your reviews really help us for next time when they're performing. Over in Malvern, the Hill Singers, Great Malvern's Chamber Choir, have a concert going on at Christchurch at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday. Telephone 07756 722 426 if you want more information on that. And the Levellers have announced a special acoustic show at Malvern Theatres on Saturday night too. Celebrating their huge career, expect stripped down versions of iconic material from 11 studio albums, including Zeitgeist and Levellers, which peaked at number one and number two in the UK charts back in the day, if you can remember. Great bands, and that's going to be a great show over in Malvern Theatres. Also in Malvern on Saturday night, we've just heard Groove Dynamite will be performing at the Cross Keys, always a great time there. And moving on to Sunday, the 12th of May. Now this sounds fun. It's a pre-loved clothing kilo sale happening at Worcester Guildhall. It's all going on from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. on Sunday, and they have 6 tons of pre-loved retro and vintage clothing at £15 per kilo. Apparently on entry you get given a big bag and it's all then down to you. You fill the bag, take it to the pay station, weigh it and bag some bargains. It's a great idea, isn't it? Apparently there are men and women's plus accessories, sportswear, jackets, coats, blazers, jumpers, dresses, shoes, you name it, it's all there. And it's all good grade A stuff apparently. Apparently these things are categorised. You can find out more on prelovedkilo.com/Worcester. And then finally, a few live music gigs on Sunday evening to mention. Pretty and the Nasties will be performing at the Imperial Tavern from 5 p.m. on Sunday. Journeyman, they're a great band, 5:30 at the Chestnut in Worcester. And the Humdrum Express is on in the evening, 8 until 10 at the Lamb and Flag in Worcester. And that concludes our roundup of events to see and do this week in town. If you have an event that you'd like included, please do get in touch with us. You can email us your details or give us a call and we'll help you publicise it to all the readers of our paper, listeners of this podcast, and we'll also pop you on social media. Thank you for listening and have a great week.
Thank you so much, Claire. A reminder of our contact details, it's editor@worcesterobserver.co.uk. Find us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram and on YouTube as well. Get in touch with us. My thanks to Claire this week for another great podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll catch you again sometime down the highway, no doubt. Until then, from me, your host, Rob George, I think we're done here. Bye-bye.
Bye.